What office has God placed all of us in? Minister of Reconciliation. Okay. In order to cause reconciliation, do you have to be there? You don't? How are you going to talk to the person? How are you going to get someone reconciled if you're not there with them? You have to be there. So why do we take on this position that we're not going to go certain places because the people are in sin, when we the ones called to give them the words of reconciliation? For too long, we have separated ourselves. We've missed family functions. We've missed some things because the people there are living in sin. Do you remember when we were doing the study on understanding the love walk, and we were talking about Zacchaeus? Okay. One translation referred to Zacchaeus as the chief sinner. What did Jesus say to him? He said, "I must come to your house." And the Pharisees and the Sadducees went bananas. Who is this man fellowshipping with sinners? And his position was, those that are well don't need a doctor. Those that are sick. Well, some of us have some family members that need a doctor. A doctor of Christianity. Okay. And they're not going to get to, you're not going to get to them if you don't go where they are. Yes, it has been shared from here. The Bible says with such a one, don't even eat. Well, it's not talking about sinners. It's talking about those that have received Jesus Christ, have operated in the gifts, and have walked away. It's not talking about your brother or your sister or your best friend that's living together. It's not talking about them. How can your light shine? Remember, Jesus said, you don't take your light and hide it under a bushel. You have to let it shine and give light to everybody. We have to get away from the mindset that in order for our light to shine, everything has to be squeaky clean. That's not why Jesus came. If he expected everything to be squeaky clean, why would he have had to die? The only thing he's looking for, squeaky clean, he's looking for coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And if we won't go into the quote-unquote den of the sinner so that our light can shine. Notice, Jesus didn't go to Zacchaeus and start witnessing to him with words. He witnessed to him with his actions. He loved them. And the Bible says Zacchaeus and his entire household was saved. What would have happened to Zacchaeus and his entire household if Jesus was too holy to go? We have to start thinking about these things, folks. We're going to have to erase some thoughts, erase some attitudes, and start going after the sinner. Start going and loving them into the kingdom. See, what brings people in is non-threatening love. Now, I so remember... I remember the event. I don't remember the woman's name, the singer that wrote the song, I Kissed a Girl and Liked It or something like that. Yeah, her father. He has access to all of them, to that whole lifestyle, because they think he's cool and he's non-threatening. So guess what they do? They seek him out. They ask him questions. He doesn't go around beating people over the head with his I Love Jesus billboard or banner. He just operates in love. And they see the love and they come to him and ask him questions. And they know he's a minister. They know he's spirit-filled. They know he operates in the office of prophet. They know all of that about him. And they come to him because they're not threatened by him. He just loves them. He just loves his daughter. Does he agree with her lifestyle? No. Does she know that? Yes. But even with that, when she was interviewed by, I believe it was Billboard magazine, and they said to her, what do you do? How do you handle it when you don't know what to do? She said, I pray in the Holy Ghost. That's what she said to them. I pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, yes, everything she's done, we know the Holy Ghost didn't tell her to do. just like with us, right? How many of us have ever done something against what the Holy Ghost said? I'm not going to look at you. I'm just going to raise my... Okay, so I don't want to know. Put your hands down, turn it around. Okay. But you know. You know. So tell me, what's the difference? What's the difference? So that means if you were late for church and you exceeded the speed limit and I found out about it, I should put you out and not let you in here because you sinned. If God told you to fast and you invite me over for dinner and you tell me God told me to fast but I'm hungry, I should leave because you're sinning. You're not doing what God said. See, we are the ones who have made categories. We're the ones that say, oh no, if they're living together, no. It's okay if they tell a lie, but no. Okay. It's okay if they murdered someone, we can deal with that, but no. They're living together. No. They're homosexual. Ooh, no. No. That's not why we're here, folks.
All right.
We are ministers of reconciliation. We go, you know, I thought it was very interesting, you know, all the traveling evangelists and things, they go where they're needed, period. They go, and they don't care who comes to the meeting. Whoever comes to the meeting is going to get what they need. We need to go where we're needed. We need to go where we are sent by God. Period. By God. Period. He is not confused. He's not confused. Now, I'm not saying, and it's recorded, so I have an audio and a video record. Okay. I am not saying we embrace sin. I'm saying we embrace sinners and love the sinner, and guess what they'll stop doing?
Sinning.
Why? They'll see the love in us. The father of the prodigal son didn't stop loving his son. As a matter of fact, he didn't put his son out. His son chose to leave. And he helped him. He gave him everything that he would have gotten when he died. He said, give me what I have now. Me? I know you guys wouldn't have done that. I would have said, you can have the left foot and the right foot. Because that's all you're getting from me, buddy. You know? No, Father gave him what he wanted and then kept watching for him to come back. How do you know that? Because it says the father saw him from afar off. How did he see him unless he was looking for him, expecting him to come back? He must have been praying for him. Must have been interceding to God for him. Must have been believing that one day he's going to look up the road and was going to see his son coming back home. And when he saw that, he didn't even wait. He said, well, I'm just going to, he needs to walk this whole distance. Matter of fact, I'm going to make him walk a little further. I'm going to wait over here. I'm going to walk out on me like that. No. He ran to him. Embraced him. Cleaned him up. Put his ring on it. See, that ring was the sign that you're part of the family. Put his ring back on his hand and said, my son that was dead is now alive. That would not have happened, folks, if he had a different attitude. He would say, oh, he come, let him stay with the servants. That's all he deserves. Let him eat with the pigs or something. No, he had his shot. No, that's not who we are. Not only are we, when I'm saying we, I'm, us right here, not only are we ministers of reconciliation, we're members of a church called Redeeming Love Christian Center. That means the way we love should cause redemption. And it's not by accident that God chose that name for this place. And don't think that, oh, he's moving over to that inclusion. So, no, I'm not. It has nothing to do with that. This is about loving the people. This is about winning the lost to Christ. And it's not going to happen if we're so holy that we won't go where they are. And they're our family. They're our blood family. And we won't go because they're not right. How are they going to get right? If the ones that know what's right won't go. Well, I called and told them. Yeah, well, that's the problem. Too many people are telling them and not enough people are showing them. They need to see it with their eyes. They need to feel it with their hearts. They need to see that you're action and not all talk. And they need to understand that sin is sin. Because they can spout off a list of things that you're doing that's not exactly godly. But they're still willing to come around. Something to think about, folks. Something to think about. Because if we really truly believe that Jesus' return is soon, then we need to do a better job rounding up the lost and getting them saved. If we really believe that. If we really believe that we're ministers of reconciliation, why are we failing to perform properly in our office? You say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, that's not true. I don't know. No, that's not true. Because the scriptures say that Jesus gave us the word of reconciliation. That means in any situation, he will tell us what to say that will cause redemption. And we have to allow him to do it. So we have to open up our hearts and really develop a sincere love for the sinner. Why? So they will know that they don't have to sin anymore. Otherwise, folks, nothing's going to change, and we're going to be held accountable. We're going to be held. Wherever Jesus went, there was change. Even when the folks didn't receive him, he still was able to get something done. It said he couldn't do any mighty works, but he still healed a few sick people and things, and that was among folks that just would not believe. He still got some things accomplished. Still did. And he said, greater things than these will we do because he's gone to the Father. And he said something else to us that we sometimes forget. He said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So that means everything Father sent him to do, he's sending us to do. Only we don't have to be crucified on the cross. He expects us to crucify our flesh. That's the only difference. So you need to think about that. As you can see, I've thought about it. The Holy Ghost and I have had long conversation about it. We need to get much, much better at loving the sinner. Period. Anybody have any questions about that? Could now to ask me. No, I wasn't planning on doing this. I still have notes. But coming in, God said, tell them to give you a victory song. So I called, Josh, I need a victory song. And Holy Ghost told him, my God is a big, big God. Yes, he is. And while he was singing, God said, you know I want you to talk to the people about loving the sinner. And I'm like, well, I know it now. I didn't know it before, but I know it now. That's our job. That's what's, I'll tell you something. When you think about it, and you look around, the way we're doing it ain't working. Why not? As Bill Cosby says, because they're not coming. That's why. They're not coming here. Why? Because we have this reputation. If you're sinning, no. I hear people all the time. I meet them in the street. Now, where are you a pastor? The church right across from Red Lobster? Oh. What do you mean, oh? And they start telling me things that they've heard. I said, well, I've heard people say that, but I've been going there for X number of years, and I'm telling you, that's not the way. I'm one of the pastors. You've seen me come in and out of this place, you know, for years. I'm not different on Sunday. The way I am is the way I am. And they said, maybe we'll come by. I'm like, please do that. Please do that. And I tell them, let me know. Let one of the deacons or elders, let them know you're here. Bring it down. Can you sit right on the row behind me? Oh, no, I couldn't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But I mean, I don't have good clothes. Just come in close. That's all. We talk to someone. They're entrenched in another church. I mean, they're firmly rooted, active, has a very responsible position in another church. Left here, that they felt God called them here, but they left here because they couldn't afford to get their nails done. That's right. That's what they said. Some told me they didn't come because, you know, they looked at the cars in the parking lot. Some said they couldn't afford to wear furs. I said, I don't wear furs. You know? I mean, but those are the things. Some said, well, you know, I came once and they were upset because they had on a little short skirt and we tried to cover them up. They felt uncomfortable that they didn't come back. They went somewhere where they felt they would be accepted. We have to understand these things, folks. The only reason God put this place here was for the sinners to come in and be trained and go out and bring in more sinners to get saved. That's why we're here. And we have to start acting like it. God is, I mean, he's doing everything that he knows to do. The only thing that he cannot control is our cooperation. We have to choose to love the sinners. We have to choose to go where they are, to sit down, to break bread, to have fellowship, to live this life in front of them so that they can, they're supposed to see our good works. How are they going to know they're good from bad if they're not interacting with us? They need to see it. And we need to insert up close and personal so they'll know who you are. I talk to everybody. My wife will tell you, I was sitting in the store, I just start talking to everyone. Wherever I go, any store in the area that I go into, they know who I am. They know where I pastor. They know what I'm about. And one thing they've never seen me do is get cross with anybody, no matter what they did. And lately, it's been interesting. As much as we've been going out to eat with Pastor Judy and Pastor Jesse and you know, Pastor David when he's here, and we spent Actually, it seemed like half an hour, but really it was only about 6 or 7 minutes. Been explaining to the servant, just, no, this is what I want. They got it wrong. And they came back and then tried to tell me, no, this is it. I'm like, no, it's not. Seafood trio, it says this, this, and that. I said, you got it mixed up with another menu item. And he said, well, I'll take it back. I said, you didn't cook it. That's fine. I'll wait. No, I'm so sorry. It's okay. The owner comes and says, no, this is the way we serve it. And as soon as he said that, someone came and whispered there and he said, I'm sorry, I'll put some shrimp on it. Came back, smile's not going on my face. I'm like, now that's it, now there it is, that's what I wanted. I said, well, way to go. And we gave, and we tip, whatever the Holy Ghost says, tip them. We tip them, the person saw their tip after making numerous errors, saw the tip, and I always write notes on the check. I do. Remember Matthew 6:33. That's what I write on the check. Okay. See, I don't do that in lieu of a tip. Okay. I do that in addition. Okay. Don't say, no, I'll give him a good word. No, you give him a good word, give him a good tip also. I mean, Christians have a history of being the worst tippers. We should be we talk about how our father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and we won't even give someone 15%. Okay. Whose salary depends on it. But wherever I go, wherever we go to pick a particular place, we come in, woman comes in, all comes up, says, just bless me. Every time we come in, comes over, has to give us a hug. Has to. Always has it. The words you gave me the last time, Pastor, oh, I'm still confessing it. I'm still remembering. I don't know how they, I have a pretty good idea how this one's living, but it doesn't matter to me. All that matters, God says, go here. People come, say this, say that, do this, do that. We do it. That's what it's all about. He'll say, that couple over there, hey, honey, he said, yeah, I know, he told me too. And we'll just tell them, just bring us their check. Oh, you know them? No, never seen them before in our life. We don't understand. God said to bless them. And I said, and don't tell them it was us. You tell them that God said he takes care of them. And that's what they do. That's what we do. That's what he wants all of us to do, to be lights, to stop looking at, I like that, God. God said, stop looking at lifestyles and focus on lives. Amen. That's what he said. Stop looking at the lifestyle and focus on the life. That life that will be lost if we don't do our job. That's what we have to consider. Now, God thinks this is more important than teaching on the cost of unity. Well, that's more like it. Philippians 2, right? Isn't that where we're going? Not Romans. Philippians 2. Let's read verse 7 out loud. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Well, God said that it's very important to make yourself of no reputation, but then you need the next step. Take on the form of a servant. See, a servant during those times had, there was only one right that a servant had. You know what that was? To do what he was told to do by his master. That's it. So when we take upon ourselves the form of a servant, We are only going to do the things that our master tells us to do. Anything else, we're not being a servant. If the master says, I want you to go to this person and fellowship with them, and you're like, Lord, but they're living together. I'm not doing that. You're no longer a servant.
Right.
Now you're acting like a master. You're doing what you want to do, and you're not doing what Father is instructing you to do. Why? Because we're thinking about our reputation? What reputation is it that we're protecting when you think about it? None. You think there's going to be a billboard? Gregory Carr hung out with sinners this week. Yeah, there will be one on God's billboard. So yeah, he did exactly what I told him. And look at the fruit. So we have to, are we servants or are we masters? If we're servants, we're going to go where God tells us to go. We're going to do what God tells us to do. We're going to love the way God tells us to love. And we're going to stop looking at lifestyles, and we're going to concentrate on the lives of the people and do what he tells us to do to get their lives right. If their life gets right, guess what changes? Their lifestyle. I mean, there's some of us sitting in here whose lifestyles need some adjusting. And we know the truth. We know, and we still need to make some adjustments. So why are we expecting more of those that don't know than we do of ourselves who do? I mean, even Jesus said that servant that knows the Lord's will shall be beaten with many stripes. Knows the Lord's will and doesn't do it. Shall be beaten with many stripes. But that servant that does not know shall be beaten with few. For where much is given, much is required. So if they don't know, they don't know. But that's okay because God sent you and you know. See, that's the way it's supposed to work. God sends the sinless to the sinners so they become sin-free. But if we don't go, we now become sinners. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? Because we're disobedient to what God told us. If he says go and we say no, we're now sinners.
Yes.
Hey, it may be uncomfortable, it may pinch, but that's the way it is. And we're going to have to change the way we've been thinking. We're going to have to kick over some things that we've made sacred and start going after the people. That's what we have to do, folks. Otherwise, all of this is just playtime. The bottom line is, we're not reaching the world for Christ. We're wasting God's time and money. That's really what it boils down to. We have to stop being I was sitting in a barber once, and it turns out that he was just trying to quote-unquote mess with me. And he was telling me about his raggedy life and stuff. And he said to me, he said, now as he's getting ready to use the straight razor on me, holds the razor in front of my face and says, so you're telling me you're better than me? I looked him right in the eye. I said, if you're telling me that you are living this kind of life and doing these things, yes, I am better than that. I said, and if you want, I can tell you how you can be better than that also. Didn't flinch. Didn't have my hand ready to do anything. And then he dropped, he said, finally. That's what do you mean, finally? He said, every time I do that, he said, folks start, they start backing up and they start saying, no, I'm not saying that. He said, you really believe this? I said, it's the truth. He said, well, no, I'm a believer. He said, but I'm just trying to find out people that sit in my chair and say things, are they really believers? He said, it didn't even bother you when I put the razor in your face. I said, nope, because if you put it toward me, Father would have turned it around. I wouldn't have had to do anything. But he said, is everybody in your church like that? I said, yep. I said, you need to come. If you want to come to a church where we really believe, just come. And I stopped going to him because I don't like going and sitting and waiting 3 hours when I don't have 3 hours worth of hair to cut. So I'm going where I can get it out, unless God says go back, then I'll go back. But I guess the point is, and I know I've been very redundant with it, but we're just driving it home, is that we have to understand we are ministers of reconciliation. And the gift that we have, or the weapon that God gave us to cause reconciliation, is love. And we have to stop denying that love because we don't like a particular lifestyle. I'll tell you something. God did not like my lifestyle before November 18th, 1984. He never denied me his love. As a matter of truth, he would have then Phyllis Walcott wake up at all hours of the morning. Why? Because I was out there all hours of the morning, and pray for me, and we had never even met. He would say, wake up, your mate needs you to pray now. Never met. And I'm wondering how I'm avoiding situations. I'm getting mad. I'm like, I missed it again? I mean, that's the way it was. And when I say situation, I mean some really bizarre stuff. I'm talking like gunfights and things. I'm upset because I'm missing it. To show you how dumb I was. But hey, I was Foots. I was the enforcer. I had to be there. And God said, no. No. He's my son. I have plans for him. You get up and pray. If she had said no, I'd be dead. I'm serious. I've no covering. God never stopped loving me, even though I was out there. He never stopped, and he never stopped loving you, because some of you have stories just like mine. And he never stopped loving, never denied us his love. So now who am I to turn around and deny his love through me to someone else? You don't know what anyone has gone through. You don't know the hurts and pains and things that people go through. And you might be their last opportunity. You don't know. I mean, I look at all of you, and I look at everybody that comes in my space, so to speak. It's like, okay, this is an honor that God is trusting me with this person, regardless of what it is. Because how I treat them, knowing who I am, how I treat them is going to be a reflection of God. Period. So it cannot, and I'm not standing here in front of you and saying, Pastor's got this down pat. You know, there are times I've had to repent and apologize because I found myself real short. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, Lord, why did I allow myself to get like this? But I really can't afford to lose it with anybody at any time. I can't. And neither can you. Their lives are too important. I mean, come on. Is the servant greater than his Lord? Well, look what they did to Jesus. And God hasn't required me to go through that. So this little bitty stuff that I'm going through, I mean, Jesus probably would have loved to go through that. when you think about it, you know. But we have to remember who we are, whose we are, and why we are here. We're here to bring the gospel, to spread the gospel throughout the world, period. We're called to preach the gospel to every creature. We're called to walk in love. We're called to keep on loving one another. Period. We're not called to judge. We're not called to pass sentence. All we're called to do is love the people into the kingdom. We have to put more emphasis on the life and not the what? Not the lifestyle. Not the lifestyle. We don't want anyone to lose their eternal life because we don't want to be around their lifestyle long enough to have an impact. A godly impact. We're going to have an impact one way or the other. Again, I guess this is what Father wanted tonight. Okay. Things are becoming more and more real to me. They're becoming more and more urgent to me. There are things happening to people in this world that I would have never thought would ever happen. I came across an article today that was very disturbing. And even though I kind of made a joke about it, it was still very, very disturbing. This company, they're looking for funding because usually creations come because folks see a need. And then they create something to meet that need. Well, there has been such an epidemic of date rape that this company, this person, made a glass that changes color when any of the date rape drugs are poured in it. And they want to come out with stirrers and straws. And I'm thinking, if you go out with someone and you feel impressed to take a special glass, you maybe want to stay home. But that's the humorous part of it, so to speak. But the sad part of it is there's a market for it because folks aren't listening to the Holy Ghost. They're not giving their lives fully to Christ, because if they did, A, they wouldn't rape anybody, and B, they'd hear the Holy Ghost say, don't go out with this person. But it's to the point where a person has created this product and wants to create products, and I'll tell you something, it will probably turn into a multi-billion dollar company because of what's happening in the world. Well, it's our fault. Because God gave dominion of this planet over to us. And we're walking around judging people and not loving them. Because when we love them, they turn from those wicked ways. And those things would no longer be necessary. Then you have some folks that are way out there. There's a company in Switzerland. It's amazing, really, when you think about it. They designed a casket. What do you put in a casket? They've designed a casket. They said it has godlike luxury. It comes with a digital stereo system. So for a cool $30,000, your lifeless corpse can listen to your favorite tunes. $30,000. And folks are going to buy it. Folks are going to buy it. Why? They don't know. They don't know. I mean, to me, just the truth that the ad says lifeless corpse can listen to its favorite music and someone's still going to buy it for their lifeless corpse. They have no idea as to what eternity is all about. None. They need to know. They need to know. And God wants them to know, so He sent us. Father, we've heard you. And while it wasn't expected, so to speak, at least while I didn't expect it, you knew it. And you knew what you wanted to say tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that not one word was misunderstood. I thank you that I shared what you wanted shared in clarity. And I believe, Father, in Jesus' name, that it went into soft hearts who could receive it, willing hearts who will do it. I thank you, Lord, that you will bring the lost across our path, and we will receive them and love them the same way Jesus loves us. We thank you, Lord, that you can trust us with them. We repent, Father, for looking at their lifestyle more so than their spiritual lives. And we thank you for giving us the opportunity to get it right. We understand that we are not embracing sin, but we are embracing the sinner. And we're going to allow them to experience your love through us, which will cause their life to change and result in them having a change of lifestyle. Thank you for the droves and droves and droves that will come because they know that you truly have a place for them where your love is evident. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.